you know, after a considerable tenure in public service, the notion of these allegations that you somehow would do anything to take money from someone in advance interest in the federal government. I mean, how do you handle that kind of controversy, things like the New York Times editorial? Does that hurt your ability to do your job going forward?
Well, first of all, from what I've read, it's about campaign contributions. And the reality is there is no nexus. You know, and my work continues on. You know, I've been fully engaged making sure that the Superstorm Sandy money was ultimately achieved, that we got it passed again through the Senate, and have been working with the Secretary of HUD, who is designated by the President to oversee these funds, to make sure New Jersey gets a robust share of those funds so that we can get our homeowners back in their homes, get our businesses back on their feet, prepare the Army Corps for preparing against future storms. So all of that has taken place. Our work, you know, yesterday we had a hearing on Wall Street reform. I was robustly engaged in protecting homeowners from the foreclosure process that was clearly misdirected and for which they were victims of. You know, have been very engaged as the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on holding a series of meetings with officials from South Korea, with the foreign minister of Jordan, passed a bipartisan resolution on the North Korea nuclear test. So, you know, our work continues on, and our focus on behalf of the people in New Jersey is, you know, laser sharp.
Now, you have been in the public eye a long time. I'm just wondering, as someone who's been through this kind of maelstrom, is there anything about the coverage that you're concerned about? I mean, looking at the mainstream press coverage, do you think that, I mean, what do you think people should be aware of as someone who's been the subject of this kind of reporting?
Well, look, I've always held the highest respect for journalists and the news media, and I appreciate them most when they engage in the pursuit of the truth and when they hold government accountable for the benefit of the people. But I think it's important to recognize that a lot of what's going on here is that it all started with a smear campaign rooted in, you know, nameless, faceless, and anonymous allegations that was generated through a partisan right-wing website that perpetuated these allegations. And it wasn't for a pursuit of journalism, but, you know, obviously for their agenda. And now you have a super PAC that's come forward and stated that agenda through an ad campaign. And so, you know, we've come to a new day in which, you know, nameless, faceless, anonymous sources can drive from a right-wing website into the mainstream.
Well, is there anything coming out of this that you wish you had done differently that perhaps wouldn't have set off this controversy looking back at it?
Well, you know, I've always believed in advocacy for individuals and companies that have a legitimate issue with, you know, the government at any given time. Certainly, I'm very much concerned about port security. I passed legislation to seek 100% scanning of all cargo here in the United States. I would want nothing less from countries that are big transshipment points, particularly of drugs to the United States. That's why I focus on that issue as the chairman of the Western Hemisphere and Global Narcotics Subcommittee. I see those drugs come on into our port and on the streets of our cities and how they harm our children and our families, and that's a real concern. You know, I think that, you know, when you have some legitimate public policy issues, that they are appropriate to be raised, and I believe we've done it in an appropriate manner.
Right, and I guess there's a conflating of things, and that's what you talk about in these media reports, conflating, from your perspective, things that do not have any relationship, the media is conflating in this narrative.
Well, I mean, I think that we've gone way beyond what the core of these issues were, and I think we're not looking at the public policy issues that are attributed. Nobody's looking at the question of what is the drug trafficking to the United States from a country like the Dominican Republic. No one is looking at the reality of their lack of scanning of their cargo and what that means to us here at home. So I find it interesting that we don't look at that side of the issue as we are looking at the totality of the issue.
Well, and that is kind of stunning that this many years after 9/11, we don't have, with someone with as much trade as we do, the Dominican Republic, when you think about that, we don't have this in place. That is just kind of stunning.
It is, and I think there's been all types of public reports. If you look at information from the federal agencies as to the Dominican Republic, if you look at the European Union recently held a summit about the Caribbean and Latin America, they cited this issue as well. So I think it's pretty well documented out there about the real concerns we have.
Now, shifting gears to, I guess, your day job, which is now chair of the Foreign Affairs, we see now what's happening with North Korea. It's kind of like Groundhog Day. They continue to escalate. What's going to be different in the administration approaches now? I mean, how is it going to change?
Well, clearly, our big challenge with North Korea is to engage the Chinese into understanding that it is in their own interests to have more robust influence with the North Koreans, because they are providing huge amounts of fuel, energy, as well as money to the North Koreans. And clearly, they could have a major impact either by joining us robustly in our sanctions effort as it relates to North Korea, which they have generally avoided, and or using their own unilateral sanctions against North Korea by reducing or eliminating either those fuel or money resources that they provide. And that could have a big impact. So a lot of it has to be a diplomacy with the Chinese, who have probably the singular greatest leverage with the North Koreans. That's a central point. I'm pleased to see that we passed out of the Foreign Relations Committee a bipartisan piece of legislation with myself and Senator Corker, the ranking Republican on the committee, the North Korea Nonproliferation and Accountability Act, that ultimately works to both condemn the nuclear tests, call on the Security Council to immediately impose a new round of sanctions, including on financial institutions, and to prevent the transfer of dual-use technologies, and to ensure enforcement of those new sanctions and those that have already been covered by the Security Council, and to also pursue human rights violations in North Korea, and to have the Secretary of State submit to the Congress policy processes towards North Korea and recommendations for what we consider to be what would we consider to be the appropriate new measures that might be considered in light of the recent actions of North Korea and its third nuclear test and its missile launchings this past December.
Now, you are about to embark on a trip to Afghanistan and Pakistan. What do you hope to accomplish there, and is this the first time you've been?
It is not the first time I've been to Afghanistan, but it's been a while. It will be the first time that I've been to Pakistan. Obviously, as the president announced in the State of the Union speech about drawing down nearly half of the forces that are there within the next year, and thinking about what will be the largest State Department, USAID, civilian mission probably that we'll have in the world, which comes squarely within the jurisdiction of our committee. I want to look at how we are preparing for that transition. What does it mean for security? What does it mean for counterterrorism efforts, which is something I've long supported, versus counterinsurgency efforts? And, of course, with Pakistan, that we are evolving in a new relationship with them, how is it that we move that relationship forward in the national interest and security of the United States and in a way that makes that has the Pakistanis be more robustly engaged with us in pursuing some of our mutual interests?
before you go, anything you want to say about your colleague, Senator Lautenberg's decision to retire?
Well, as I said yesterday when I learned of it, Frank Lautenberg has been a tireless fighter for the people of New Jersey. He has had landmark legislation nationally, from Superfund-related legislation to banning smoking on air flights that improve the quality of health for everybody, to making sure that the domestic violence abusers can't get access to guns. So Senator Lautenberg's been at the cutting edge, and I know that he'll be equally as successful over the next 2 years as he ends out this term. And we'll end up with an incredibly, powerfully and achieved record.
Listen, be safe, and thanks for coming to the phone.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.